Well, we got some fun things to talk about here today. Governor Greg Gianforte is going to come alongside first, though. Got news about the state's housing supply and the program there, the growing apprenticeship program, and something I love to hear about and love talking about, the 56-county tour. He's wrapped up his fifth tour as governor. We've got that on the plate today for Tuesday on Voices of Montana. It is Cinco de Mayo. Happy 5th of May to you, and I hope things are going well for you. Appreciate you joining us. Scobie, Montana, KCGM, 95.7 FM, and my thanks to the Daniels County leader there for keeping me informed. Thank you for sending that paper. Hello to our friends in Great Falls as well, KQDI. We're going to move to the capital city, Helena, Montana, KCAP on 950 AM, where we get to speak with Governor Greg Gianforte. A lot on the plate here. Montana's 25th governor, former tech entrepreneur, former U.S. congressman, very pro-business policies, workforce development. And then the housing supply was something that you had to work an awful lot on. Good morning, Governor. How are you, sir?
Tom, good to be with you.
Thank you for coming alongside. I love talking about the 56-county tour. And I want to point people to the website as well, because you put a little bit of the visit for every one of those counties on that website page there. So it is news.mt.gov or governor.mt.gov, and you'll find your way there. Fun stuff, right? Talk about this one.
Well, this is the 10th time we're doing a 56-county tour. This is my sixth one as governor. This week, we're starting up in Phillips County. We're heading east. We'll go over to Glasgow, Scobie, Plentywood, down to doing town hall in Sydney, heading to Glendive, Baker, and then we'll end up in Broadus. 3 days, 13 counties. And it's good to get out. You don't learn as much sitting behind a desk. And Eastern Montana often gets forgotten. So I'll be meeting with doing teacher appreciation in Malta today. We'll be touring some investments in rural health care, meeting with farmers and ranchers, honoring veterans. It's a smorgasbord of rural Eastern Montana, and people are never afraid to bend my ear, so I end up learning stuff and coming back and being able to act on it.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's different than like a round table, because you go to where they are and they're there in their environment. Of course, Montanans, I think, because we are so neighborly and still such a small town kind of state, we love to have the governor stop in. What do they not tell you, Greg? What do you have to kind of peel out of them a little bit, you know?
Well, you know, when I'm meeting with entrepreneurs, I want to know, like, how's business? You know what? I'm a business guy. It's like, you making money?
Yeah.
What are the challenges? And so I try and get behind the scenes a little bit, because people want to put a good foot forward, but I want to hear about the problems, because that's what we're trying to get the red tape out, trying to lower taxes. I want to hear what is the state doing that's creating friction, and then so I can go back and work on getting rid of it.
What has changed? Now, you've been doing this as well since you were a U.S. congressman too. So as you mentioned, the 10th overall, getting underway here. What has changed from then to now?
Well, I will tell you, coming into these, it's like every town we roll into, it's like coming home. The first 3 years, I think we were doing this when I was running back in 15 and 16, we didn't stay in hotels. We stayed in people's homes.
Yeah.
And it was just neat to sit around the kitchen table, have a cup of coffee and just visit with folks. So every town has associated with it fond memories from this time. It'll be the 10th visit, official visit, when we're doing events in every one of the counties. And it's, again, it's a little bit like coming home.
Do they talk about policy? Are they mostly concerned at kind of a surface level, or does our electorate now get a little deeper because elections are challenging nowadays?
Well, we have great discussions, and again, I never know what I'm going to learn. Mm-hmm. It's Confucius said one time, you're never in a position to learn until you're totally confused. So I'm happy to put myself out there and ask the question, like, how is business? How are you doing? If it's a problem, they're going to talk about it. And that's why I'm there.
Do we have that division between rural and urban like some other Western states have. We don't have, you know, major population areas. Do you still see a rural versus urban divide?
Well, I think there was some feeling of neglect in eastern Montana, not so much rural and urban, but eastern versus western. But I've been out in eastern Montana. I mean, some of my predecessors, I don't think they'd seen anything east of Billings. I get up to, you know, Sheridan, Daniels, Roosevelt, Hill counties every year. We've developed relationships and those persist. I might only be able to get to some of these places once a year, but when I leave, that many of these folks have my email, they have my cell number, and they're not afraid to call in. So we maintain the relationship throughout the year. And that allows me to represent them well.
That's great. I bet, you know, housing has been one of the big things on there. Housing, workforce development. And those are just two key things that I think everybody has tried to tangle with over the last couple of years. What are you hearing now? What's the news?
Well, we had a great report come out here in the last 2 weeks. You know, we took this housing affordability head on, and I'm not claiming it's completely solved, but we've made real progress. In fact, we put this bipartisan task force together. We have enacted a couple of dozen reforms, increasing apprentices in the building trades. We've seen record growth in apprenticeships. That's creating better careers. It also means we have more carpenters and plumbers to build the houses. We've 40% of the cost of a new home is government regulations. These are restrictive zoning. We've gotten rid of most of that stuff. We've made it easier to get permits. And it's showing up in new business starts. There was a national report out just in the last 2 weeks that said Montana leads the nation now in new single-family home building permits. In fact, we're 2x the nearest neighbor state. We had 25% increase in new single-family home building permits this last year. The next nearest state was only 12% increase. Many states saw decreases. So we're getting the red tape out of the way. It's easier to get permits. We're going to see more homes built. But it takes some time for these homes to get built. You don't have one overnight. And apprenticeships are typically 4 years. So we made the changes 3 years ago. We're just starting to get this crop of apprentices back into the building trades. But we're making progress. Our larger communities, Missoula, Bozeman, we've seen rents come down 10 to 15%. We've seen housing prices stabilize. You know, inflation makes prices go up. It doesn't ever go down. You don't ever get the ground back. And we're still dealing with the Biden inflation. We've got to grow wages so people can afford the prices that exist out there.
Well, and this is tied right to that. I mean, both as you talked about, of course, I think last week was a National Apprenticeship Week, and you were out and doing some things in that regard. And we spoke with Sarah Swanson, your labor and industry commissioner as well, and very active on that front, too. What are they building the right kinds of housing? Because I see the supply go up, but affordability is still a concern for many.
Well, it is, but we're not going to have smart people in a room making decisions about what type of housing to build. What's going to do that is the marketplace. And ultimately, home builders will figure out what the market is willing to pay for and then build those homes. And this is the wonderful thing about the free market. It responds to consumer demands. And we've done some things to provide some bias towards workforce housing, like the $150 million out of our surplus that we put into the low interest loan program to help developers and municipalities put in water and sewer for new subdivisions to qualify for that low interest loan. You have to put at least 10 units per acre. So that's more towards workforce housing. One of the other affordability issues, you know, if you require large lot sizes, large houses, they're going to cost more. So we got rid of those restrictions in the zoning in the state. So people can do what they want with their property. They can build the size home that a consumer wants to purchase. And that's making things more affordable as well.
Are we seeing homelessness now? I think it's all folded into this issue here, but I received a message from a colleague regarding some information the chamber had had released about the homeless population in a certain area tripling in recent years. And I know that's a concern. And we've seen that across the country in a dangerous sort of sense as well. You know, what's on your plate when it comes to dealing with housing and then trying to get people back into housing?
Yeah, well, ultimately it comes with helping them develop skills to earn a wage so they can afford a house. And this is why we've been focused on the apprenticeships. You know, the average apprentice in Montana, when they complete their apprenticeship within 1 year, they're making $72,000 a year.
Yeah.
And they 85% of them, just shy of 85, 84% of apprentices end up staying with the company where they apprenticed for at least 5 years. So apprenticeships lead to wages that allow you to afford a home. That's a good thing. We're also, and this is something I'm particularly proud about. We hear about all this fraud on Medicare and Medicaid and our social systems. We need these programs. We need the safety net for people that fall through the cracks. But it should be a trampoline that helps them bounce back to their feet, not a hammock you climb into for the rest of your life. Nobody starts off life saying, I want to grow up and become dependent on the government. Mm-hmm. And in a certain sense, we enable bad behavior. We have 100,000 people in Montana of working age that have chosen not to work. And if people have permanent disabilities or they have young kids at home, no issue there. We should be taking care of those through the social welfare systems. But this is why we're adding work requirements to SNAP and adding work requirements to Medicare. Medicaid, mm-hmm. So that if someone is able-bodied, does not have dependent children, and they're of working age, they should either have a job or be looking for work. And this is the best path to get them back on their feet, to allow them to be in a position to afford a home here in Montana and pursue the American dream.
And I know you like mentorship and you like entrepreneurship. And so I can imagine as you get out and visit, you know, your 406 Jobs Initiative, a very big part of this as well. Is this sort of the future of workforce development? I mean, I suppose it takes a balanced approach.
Well, we have to match our workforce training programs with the needs of the marketplace. This is why I've been encouraging the MUS system to work more closely with industry partners. Higher ed cannot be an ivory tower off by itself, independent of the workplace. And when industry gets involved, whether it's the home builders or high tech or advanced manufacturing, and they explain to the academy, our university system, what their workforce needs are, and the university builds programs to match those needs, everybody wins. The students have a brighter future. Industry gets the workforce they need. Our economy grows, and it creates a tax base that allows us to reduce the burden on our seniors and others that are on fixed income. So it's just a good thing. We're seeing more of that. These apprenticeships, we have over 800 employers in Montana that are currently participating in these apprenticeship programs in 65 different occupations, everything from healthcare to childcare. And again, as I mentioned, because through 406 Jobs, and I know Sarah Swanson has talked about this on your show, but we've identified 100,000 people in Montana. That's almost 10% of the population that are of working age that don't have a job and aren't looking for work. So there are some subpopulations in there, veterans, people with disabilities, inmates returning to society, and Native Americans. And we're matching our workforce programs specifically for those subpopulations to help build a bridge for them so they can fully participate in the American dream.
Montana Governor Greg Gianforte with us here. We're going to roll past the break and take that at the end of the interview. And text a message here, 781-627-5483, if you want to get in here real quick. A couple of things still on the plate here, but I want to go back to where you and the First Lady Susan began. Well, a number of businesses in your basement, so to speak, bootstrapping, wrote a book about it. But right now, technologies, right? And that kind of spurred, some would say credit, Montana's growing tech industry. Where's that at now? As you go back to when you know, you walked out of the Right Now Technologies offices, and then you look across our landscape. How's tech in Montana?
Well, it's growing. It's probably one of the fastest growing sectors. The Montana High Tech Business Alliance measures this every year. I think the last report I saw was between $2 and $3 billion in revenue. One of the fastest growing sectors. And I was so proud of the team we had. Ultimately, we started in an extra bedroom in our home in Bozeman, and it grew to 1,100 employees around the world. We gave the employees ownership in the business. And as a result, many of them, we had a very entrepreneurial environment inside the company. Many of those people went on to start other businesses. I think the last report I saw, there were at least 24 different businesses that had spun out of that in the Bozeman area. So it's a growing, strong sector, and it's just another option. I mean, it's we've made job creation a priority in our administration. We're one of two states in the country where wage growth in Montana has exceeded inflation over the last 5 years. Only two states in the country can say that. That's good news.
One of the things that we've been talking about here, and we did this yesterday with some candidates who felt like their campaign advertising against them was very misleading to the point of false, and there were some AI-generated images as well. I mean, that's part of the discussion. And one of them pointed right to property tax relief, and a couple of them did, as a matter of fact, as to what created kind of this divide, especially within the GOP. I think people are, they understand there's tension there. And the 2027 session is coming up fast. People they're kind of getting set for it here now. What are you hearing? What kind of advice do you have for voters who are trying to make informed decisions inside this kind of unique, but maybe it's not so unique for politics?
Yeah, I mean, there's very few things new under the sun. Read some interesting history recently back in Ronald Reagan's time when Speaker Boehner was in the U.S. House. People don't always agree. I would say I firmly believe that as Montanans, we have more in common than separates us. And as conservatives and as Republicans, we are going to disagree on some things. But I don't know any Republican legislator who voted the same as any other Republican legislator throughout the session. So the way somebody voted on one issue when you agree on 80% doesn't make somebody more conservative or less Republican than another. But when you split a majority, you end up with two minorities. So you asked a very good question, Tom. How should people respond with this? The thing that people cannot do is throw up their hands and say, these are a bunch of knuckleheads, I'm not voting. Mm-hmm. When you do that, you've given your voice to somebody else and you've given your authority to somebody else. Ballots are out right now for the primary. In many districts in the state, they lean right or they lean left. The decision on who's going to represent you in the next legislative session in 2027 is not determined in November, because it's determined in June during the primary. So ballots got mailed this week. If you get an absentee ballot, the way to respond is not to throw up your hands. The way to respond is to do your research, talk to people that you think are in the know, get your ballot, fill it out, and return it. Make sure you vote in the primaries at the beginning of June to make sure your voice is heard. Because if you don't vote and you just throw up your hands and say, I'm sick of this, you've given your authority to somebody else who may not agree with you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, and there's that urge to do that as well. So great encouragement there. I'm just going to talk. We got like about three minutes left here, and I appreciate your time, Governor. The 2027 session, all right? I think you've done some really good things for the state of Montana, workforce development. We talked about them here, pro-business. The red tape thing I think is very important. And we didn't talk specifically too much about property taxes, but housing reform. Maybe there's some things left on your plate. What do you have yet to accomplish, and how do you use the 2027 session for that?
Yeah, so good question. We've been building. I've been doing lots of stakeholder meetings. I'm doing the 56 county tour. We're collecting stuff. There's probably four or five things that are at the top of our list. One is we did make good progress on property taxes. Maybe there's some tweaks. We'll look at that. But we still have the highest income tax rate in the Rocky Mountain region. I think we should get to a flat tax. A flat tax is one rate for everybody. You make more, you pay more. You make less, you pay less. I'd like to get that under 5%. I think most people right now pay 4.7. I think everybody should pay 4.7. So flat tax is number one. We've got to give some help to our farmers and ranchers on their farm equipment and small businesses on their equipment. We've raised the exemption on business equipment tax. I think we should raise the exemption again. So that's number two. Third, we got to protect our miners online from social media. We tried to get that done last time. We got to get it done this time. We have a bunch of occupational licensing to make it easier to work in Montana while protecting the public. And then finally, there's a bunch more red tape. But red tape relief. We got a bunch of stuff. And then I'm waiting for my Energy Task Force report in September, and that will lay out a number of provisions to help us map out Montana's energy future. So those are that's the top of our list. And if people have other ideas, they should reach out to our office.
Boy, that, you know, I'm hearing people out there going energy. When they hear energy, and of course we focused on it a lot here, they're going AI, and then they're going data centers. What's your take on that from the governor's seat?
Well, you know, if you have a data center in your county, you're going to pay lower property taxes. Because in North Dakota, I was talking to a data center company recently. This data center company in North Dakota is now the largest property tax payer in North Dakota. As we start to build data centers, we need to do it in communities where there's power and there's water. Many of these data centers are going to build their own power production. We have to make sure electricity prices for consumers don't go up because of the power data centers. But this is a massive addition to our tax base that's going to allow us to pay for our schools, our roads and bridges, our police departments. So I'm encouraging it. I think we should do it. It's going to be good for the communities where these data centers go in.
Thank you for that. Thank you for your service. Appreciate that. I'm looking forward to chatting with you down the road too. And I know that 56 county tour, as you mentioned, kicking off, was it 13 counties in 3 days? Travel safe. Be well. And I like to ask you what you're doing for fun, but I think you're going to say it's visiting Montanans over the next few days.
It is. Well, this Thursday is Susan and Mai's 38th anniversary. What are we doing to celebrate? 56 county tour.
Nice. Congratulations. That's quite a surprise. And tell the first lady, you know, hello for us as well. I kind of think you guys as lovebirds. I see you guys together all over the place. So that's you're setting a good example in that regard too. Thank you, Governor Greg Gianforte. Appreciate it all.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.